Hello, and welcome to the podcast Where I Work. I'm your host, Rocco Longarello, and I thank you for stopping by. This is an interview-style show where I sit down with friends, family, colleagues, and even strangers to talk about work, what it means to them, how they landed in their current position, and how to achieve some sort of healthy work-life balance. I've been interested in this topic really since the inception of my career, and as a poet and creative professional, I have been searching for answers to the question, does work define us? I honestly believe that this podcast is helping me uncover these answers, and mostly because I am shutting off my brain and finally just listening. So, if you're a first-time listener, thanks for joining us, and I hope you stick around. If you're a returning listener, I'm happy you came back, and I appreciate that. So let's start episode number 9, called Love Your Work, with my guest Danielle Marconi, aka Superwoman. You'll see what I mean by that later, I'm sure. Danielle is a family friend and someone I've known for a long time. And about 2 years ago, Danielle opened a yoga and wellness center in Milford, Connecticut called Bend. And she did this while also maintaining a full-time job as a high school counselor. And since I'm amazed by people who can give so much of themselves for the greater good, I thought she would make a perfect guest. So, I hope you enjoy. Let's get started.
I've always just wanted to help people, and like, I didn't care if there was money in it. I just wanted to, you know, be like available. That's why I was like, oh, it's kind of funny because like my work-life balance doesn't really exist, but there's nothing I don't want to be doing. Like,
so you own your own business, you know, I'll let you talk more about all those things, but you own your own business, you're a school counselor, you're a yoga instructor, you're a massage therapist. So what led you, let's start with what led you to become a school counselor?
Originally, I wanted to go to school for athletic training in physical therapy. So I worked at a gym. I think, obviously, you know that.
Yeah, World Gym, right?
World Gym in Trumbull. Yeah, that's from right. When I was like 50, and I spent so much time there that they hired me to work the front desk when I turned 16. And then I stayed there for probably about 10 years, and I ended up becoming like a group exercise instructor, a spinning instructor, just did anything I could like around the gym and in the fitness industry. I was also studying Reiki, so I had like the physical part and then the like spiritual energetic.
What's Reiki?
Reiki
for people who don't know. I actually do know.
Reiki is a Japanese energy healing. Pretty much just channeling energy through your body to clear somebody else, emotional, physical.
You still practice that?
I still practice that.
What kind of time? When would be a time where people would want to have that done to them?
Like, what are the treatment options? For any time. If you're coming, I know they use it like in patients that are in the hospital dealing with cancer. It helps accelerate healing. It's also very calming, and like for an emotional, stressful time, it's really great to just try to calm the body, balance the energies.
Yeah.
So it's used in the hospital for, you know, more severe cases, but also I get clients here just out of anxiety. I have a couple of teenage clients that I work with because they have like just nervous energy and attention problems, and
yeah,
just feels good. It's really soothing.
Okay. So you basically, early on, even when you were a teenager, you were interested in physical.
Yeah, so I got initiated into Reiki when I was 15. I became a Reiki master when I was 19. And at the same time, I was pursuing the physical parts at the gym and becoming an exercise instructor and then a personal trainer and doing everything I could, like, physically. So yeah. I had, like, both parts, but neither one kind of crossed over.
Yeah.
So I thought studying physical therapy, athletic training, it would give me a stronger background to work physically with people. But then when I started studying, I realized that they were missing the like human component. So when I worked with patients or like taped ankles, like I just really wanted to know like about them and like,
yeah,
why do people keep getting injured? Like what happens? Like there's got to be some psychology between like people who are consistently hurt or people who like get sick a lot or like where's their brain at?
So yeah.
I started studying a little bit more psychology, and I was
so like the connection between mind and body,
right? So it's always been like a running theme because I just didn't understand. I had this very physical life and I had this very spiritual life, but they never like met from, either perspective. So so I was like, physical therapy is kind of not for me anymore, because I feel like it's treating an injury but not a patient. And I didn't want to do like a protocol for a knee injury
or like you were
a rotator cuff, like move your arm 4 degrees or anything like that. So I started to study psychology, and I like ate it up like candy, because it was how the brain worked.
In college, you mean?
Yeah, in undergrad. So it was like the human condition, and I couldn't get enough of that. So then I met a professor at Sacred Heart that actually taught a class here for me. But she was my intro to counseling professor, and I was like, I love this. So
you knew right away?
I just really like, I'm genuinely curious about people. So that makes your counseling more authentic.
So what happened then? You got your undergrad, and then what was your next career step after?
So because I was originally very deep into my science major of physical therapy and athletic training, I had a lot of labs and tons of credits. So I ended up graduating 1 year early from undergrad with a degree in psych, which you can do nothing with. So I knew I had to kind of go get a master's. I didn't really know if I wanted to pursue school, if I wanted to go into like an agency or just do private practice, marriage and family. Like there's so many options.
Yeah.
And then I just packed my bags and moved to Hawaii for 6 months.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So like you took time off right after graduation?
Yeah. So I graduated in May. I moved to Hawaii in July, and I bought a 6 month ticket. I just thought I'd hang out on the beach and figure it all out. And when I got there, I applied to Chaminade University, to their counseling program. And they had 3 different tracks, marriage and family, agency, and then school. So I rode my bike up there, gave them my application.
Wow.
And decided to enroll in grad school there. I just wanted a real reason to stay. So
that is fantastic. I knew that, but I always love hearing that again, because
yeah, it's a very exciting story. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Did you know anyone out there when you
went?
No,
I had never been there, and I knew nobody. But I, for some reason, was fearless at 20 and was like, I'm just doing it. So
yeah, I'm right. Remember those days?
Yeah, I'm like, when did I get scared? So I ended up just going out there and having the time of my life, and it made a huge difference to me, because it was one of those like coming of age stories where I was like, oh my God, I left the bubble of Connecticut and more so of like Trumbull and World Gym. Like,
yeah.
Who am I? And like, what am I going to do out here? And like, how do you make friends that don't already know half your life history? So it really helped me to form like exactly who I am and like what my core values are and what was important to me.
Mm. Let's just jump into this, because I'm really interested, and I don't know if you know, but my wife Shannon, she's going back
to
school.
She's school counseling, right?
She's going to earn that, and she's an English teacher now at high school.
Right.
But she wants to make the transition. Do you like your job?
I do. I really like working with the kids. I like being able to help them see more for themselves in any kind of way, or know that like they could create the life they want. I feel like when we were in school, like our guidance counselor was like, here's your letter of recommendation.
I don't remember ever talking
to
them.
There was no like I go into the classrooms and I talk to students about all kinds of stuff. We just started to try to implement mindfulness in the classroom. So we're using like one group study.
No kidding.
Where we are trying to get it to be like a mindful minute every day, so people can like take that second and like reflect. Because I feel like those things aren't taught. Like, when did you learn how to deal with stress?
Never.
Never. Like, I mean, I was lucky. I had parents that were, like, definitely progressive about it. But
yeah, what is mindfulness for people that don't know?
God, there's so many, like, definitions of it. But it's, like, awareness of the present.
Mm-hmm.
Like, letting everything else go and just witnessing what's happening right now.
So, like, quieting your mind.
Quieting the mind. Like, for us, when we did our lessons, like, we did a mindful eating, so that they ate like a raisin, and first they had to like touch it and like roll it between their fingers so they could like use all their senses engaged just on that thing.
Oh wow.
And then they would finally like put it in their mouth and like chew it and feel what it felt like in their mouth, like texture wise and then swallow it and feel it like going down your throat. And so each step had them like really focused on that one thing that was happening.
That's a cool exercise.
Super easy.
Yeah.
And like, and they were,
you could do that with almost anything.
You could do it with anybody. You could do it with anything. We did it 3 different times. So we did it with a raisin, a clementine, and a Hershey Kiss. So
yeah.
Very distinct tastes, textures, whatever. And the point of the activity really is to be like, okay, so who thought of something else in the past like 3 minutes? And nobody did.
Mostly no one, like, yeah, awesome.
Whereas, like, the world, and this is my own little soapbox, is, like, constantly, like, phone, like, disengaged, doing, like, 20 things at once, like, texting, Facebooking, driving, like, so to get them to, like, not do any of that for 3 minutes, like, and be like, do you feel any different? Like, is there something that changed?
Yeah. What kind of effect do you think because I agree with that, the technology, and I know every generation will say,
yeah,
kids
course.
These days, but...
Kids these days.
But seriously, we're not that far removed from that technology, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what kind of effect does that technology have on student anxiety and
stress? The biggest thing that I see as a school counselor is that they are constantly engaged. So where we went to school and didn't have cell phones, went home. Like anything that was happening at school kind of just got left at school. So if you were picked on or bullied or they probably didn't even have bullying laws when we were in school. Mm. But, like, I feel like every child has some form of, like, teasing happens.
Yeah.
In elementary school or middle school, like, everybody's awkward in finding themselves. But now it doesn't just stop at school. So now they go home and still, like, see things on Facebook or social media or Snapchat or whatever they're doing now. So, like, it is so long... standing, like, they can't go home to the safety
There's
of
no
like
separation.
Their home, so they still like get teased or picked on or texted or talked about.
Wow.
And it's just, you never catch a break, and then you come to school and it starts all over again, and like you don't want to say anything because people are involved and it could get worse, and like
wow.
So there's that added component in counseling that you don't have any control over what they're doing on their phones, and you could try to make it as safe for them in the building, but you can't stop them.
Right.
And you can't take their phones, and we can't shut down our Wi-Fi. And like, so there's a lot of that. And then there's also the dehuman part of it. Like when somebody picked on me at school and said like, you're whatever. And I had a reaction. You saw my face and that real like humanness of me being sad or angry or something.
Sure.
But when you're behind a screen, they're so detached. So kids can be like ruthless and mean. You're like,
oh yeah.
You're not like that in real life. But when you're like behind something, you don't have to see that you're hurting somebody.
Yeah.
They just get like vicious.
Yeah.
Like if somebody's crying, you're not going to be like, you're fat. Like.
Yeah. Right. Keep going and going.
Right. Like it would take a really special kind of person that's like filled with hate or whatever to try
yeah.
to like keep making somebody feel
that's
bad
so true
once you see they're broken like
yeah
but they don't see the brokenness, they don't see like the person being sad or like there's a lot more like suicide ideation or people cutting self-mutilation just because they're in so much pain all the time and there's nowhere to put it and like you don't want to fight the masses like
wow. Yeah, I've never even thought of that. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
It's frightening, but...
it's a super, like, social jungle, and they have to figure out how to navigate through it and, like, not be, like, too outspoken or not be too quiet or not be too whatever,
Yeah, like, they're almost always on stage waiting to be judged.
And some people navigate it just fine and will never feel any effects of it, but some people just fall victim to it.
So, is there a story that you can recall, maybe not immediately, but, I would guess just like a moment that you had with one of your students that sticks out to you as like either having a great impact on them, either you to them or them to you. Was there a story that?
Yeah, actually, I have two stories that like kind of when I'm like at a low and being like, why am I doing this? Like nobody's getting any
yeah.
help. Nobody's changing. Like it's hard because like counseling's a far different profession than like massage. Like I massage you, you leave, you're like, I feel great. Counseling, you're like, it's been 8 weeks and you still haven't done anything. Like, so asking people to like make their own changes or find their own personal path is a lot more demanding.
Right.
So I have two stories. One of them is a story about a girl I taught yoga and meditation to when she was in fifth grade. And I was an elementary counselor for 7 years. So I had girls groups focused on like self-esteem. So we did like a lot of yoga, we did breathing, we had them like be silent and like learning to like self-love. And this one girl, always in guidance, like always visiting the school counseling office to like hang out, like just needed a lot of attention. Really sweet, but troubled for sure. And she took our girls group, and she was like, is there anywhere else I could practice? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, yoga is very sparse in Bridgeport. Like,
yeah.
Some churches, like, offer it in a basement, but, like, if she wanted to take a yoga class, she'd have to take, like, 2 buses into Fairfield in a very expensive studio, like, that she probably couldn't afford. So
yeah.
It wasn't always accessible. That's why I always wanted to bring it to the schools, because I feel like it's something that's, like, a great tool they could use at home. They could, like, replicate. Anyway, she went off to high school. I still worked at the elementary school. Then I started working at a different high school. I went to the mall, and this girl's like, Miss Marconi? And I'm like, yeah. Now, the last time I saw her, she was
a child.
11.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
Now, fast forward, she's 20. And she's like, do you remember me? I'm like, it's like a test. You know, they all want to know, like,
yeah,
do you remember
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's been like hundreds and hundreds of students since then. But I did.
You did.
Because she was in my girls group. And like, that was like my first time of introducing like young girls, like 10, 11, to meditation and yoga, which I think is super important in those developing years, especially like middle school awkwardness. So, And I remembered her name. So I called her by name, and she was like, oh my God, I can't believe that. And she's like, I remember, she's like, I still remember the yoga class. And I was like, really?
Wow.
And like, now she's since graduated high school and like was working. And she said, you teaching us yoga. She's like, that was the first time I ever had peace in my brain. And I was like, really? I'm like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, I didn't realize it then, but it was so helpful to me. And she's like, my life was always really chaotic and it was so loud. And it was the first time it got quiet.
Wow.
And I was like, I need to keep doing this.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what kept me moving forward and writing grants and getting assistance, and because schools have no money. So to do Donors Choose and whatever I could to get yoga mats, to get funding, to get books, to get videos.
Yeah. And that was like the little, you know, nugget that you
needed. And I was like, oh, I love how like sometimes the universe just sends you that thing that you're like, keep doing that.
Yeah. That's great.
So...
yeah. What, and what's, then, yeah, what's
so the other? Second story is totally different. I had a, so sometimes as a school counselor, you have to make like referrals to DCF for neglectful families or abusive
Department
families.
Department of Children and Family.
Yeah. So it's definitely not the shiniest part of the job, because you never want to like see a home broken apart. You never want to like, you want it to all be healthy and happy and good and, like, work with them the best you can.
You mean, if you, like, suspect violence
or something? Yeah, so we had one girl that was consistently showing up late for school, late, like, sometimes not coming in, like, a little dirty, like, definitely a neglected child. And I had to make a report because she had mentioned she was living in a different town and, like,
yeah,
that she was unsupervised and she had younger siblings. So just all the, like, red flags. So I called and made a report, and I had made reports in the past, but this was the first one that actually got a family split. So I was like devastated, because you're like, oh no.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure.
This is it's a responsibility of a counselor and as like a reporter, but it's still heavy.
I'm sure.
You know? I mean, a lot of things you could go home and like not think about, but those are the ones that you're like, did I do right by them? Anyway.
Wow.
Turned out she got separated away from her family, and however it went down, and then she ended up, excuse me, I left my school and I went to a different school, and she came to that school, like she was a student there. So I was like, oh, this is so funny.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Because even though like she traveled up through middle school and I wasn't her counselor, and then when I came back to the high school, I was the career counselor at the school, so I ended up working with her again. She ended up graduating like top of her class, doing really well. So being the career counselor, I had to help them like do college essays, write resumes and career path stuff. And she's like, I want to work for DCF. Like, I want to be a social worker.
No kidding.
And I was like, you do? And I read her college essay, and like, I was alone, fortunately, because I like burst into tears. She was like, you know, the hardest things in my life happened when I was in elementary school. She wrote this whole thing about how somebody cared enough to report her family, and it made all the difference to her, even though at the time she was angry and mad.
Like, yeah.
Now she wants to be a person that could help in that way.
Wow.
So I was like crying. Like,
yeah, you totally
did
that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, and she has no idea it was me. Like,
she doesn't.
No. So like, I'm reading this essay, like getting, I'm still have goosebumps. like, holy cow, she is writing about me, like, making this report.
And that changed everything. And,
like, for me, I was like, oh, God, did I do the right thing? And now here I am, like, seven years later, reacquainted with this person who's like,
yeah,
you did the right thing. And now I'm going to want to move forward and do the right thing by people, too. So,
wow, that's
amazing. Doesn't happen every day. No, that's but, fantastic. Like, those two stories definitely are, like, you're doing something good.
Yeah, well, it's also giving you this feeling that you're on the right path,
right?
And that's a lot of times you need that to keep going.
Because you're like, is this it?
Yeah.
We're just going to keep telling kids to, like, get good grades, like...
There's more
to it. Do your homework, come to school.
What career advice do you give your students, like people that are preparing for that?
So we have, because we're a technical high school, we kind of have the best of both, because we train them in a trade if they would like to pursue that. So auto, masonry, carpentry, plumbing, like they could pretty much go on and further their education in that and own their own businesses. Yeah. Like there's 10 trades at my school, but also they get a high school diploma where they could just also apply to colleges. So they kind of have two.
That's great.
They have both.
How does a student get into a school like that?
You just have to apply.
You just choose
it? It's based on grades. It used to be based on their like state test scores and their grades, but they're not doing state testing anymore. So it's just based on their grades and their attendance.
How many students go to that school?
The school that I currently work at has it could fill 150 people in a class. So we right now only have 9th and 10th grade, so there's like a little less than 300 students.
Mm. Yeah, so that's totally getting people prepared for careers. That's like...
Yeah, so it's definitely junior and senior year, they go out into production. They have an opportunity to do something called work-based learning where they go and work for a company instead of coming to school during the trade time. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. So my job when I worked in Bridgeport was to build like community partnerships so they could get jobs and careers to see what it's like. And Sikorsky, Stratford Sikorsky,
yeah,
had like an internship program in the summer that was amazing. They took, I don't know, anywhere from like 10 to 20 kids. They let them work there. They paid them union wage, which is like $24.50 or something absurd. Wow. So they'd make like $8,000 or something in the summer.
That's so awesome.
But they like seriously came back to school, like men and women. They were like, yeah, maybe their junior summer they worked. They came back senior year and were like, wait, I just made money. This is totally real. Like I work 40-hour work week. So they get like real serious about wanting to like get a good job.
That's fantastic. Don't you think there should be more high schools like that?
I think so. I think it's a good opportunity. I know, like, I mean, we grew up in Trumbull. A lot of the push was, like, go to college. Like, I don't remember that there was an option otherwise.
No.
Like, maybe, what, like, 2 or 3 kids went military and, like...
If that, yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like there was... Nobody, like, really presented it that way. But we also weren't learning a trade, so...
No, we didn't know anything.
I mean, we did have an option that we could have gone to school in Bridgeport, but that wasn't going to happen.
No.
So, but I think, like, the trades... I tell the students all the time, like, you can't, like, nobody's going to outsource a plumber. Like, if there's water running all over my house, like, I need you right now.
Yeah. And,
like, same with masonry, like, all the construction trades, like...
And it's dying, right?
They're dying.
Like,
well,
right.
Because it's, like, our grandpa's.
Exactly. Well, and then that's this whole push where they want kids in school to start learning, like, coding and computer science to be, like, a core class. And so we're moving away more and more from, you know, working with your hands.
Right. And sometimes that's just an awesome fit for people. I know plenty of people that, like, went to college but probably would have killed it just being a builder or, like...
Yeah. If they even knew that, but they didn't even have the exposure to it.
Right. Like, I mean, if you know anybody who's a mason, it's probably because their grandpa is here from Italy and taught them, like...
Exactly. Yeah. I think I would be... I could probably be okay in that career. I always thought. But then... They... Because of my parents, because they're blue collar, they always were like, you don't want to do what I did.
Right.
Like, I worked my ass off. And they did. And they're like falling apart now that they're...
Right. I mean, older. Laboring is definitely a tough career choice. But, I mean, unions and...
Yeah.
Getting into like a carpentry union or a plumber's union.
And not sitting on your butt for 9 hours a day.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And they do have trades that are like electrical, or we have computer trades like graphic design and information system technology, and the school I work at now has something called digital media, and they do like our morning announcements. They have like a what's it called, the green background,
green screen,
yeah, the green screens, and they do like videos and
awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. So they're definitely like learning a lot of cool stuff. I would have definitely been interested in high school.
Would you, do you consider, or do you think you'll stay as a school counselor? Is that like your ultimate goal?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, I'm glad I chose school counseling because it allowed me to work at a school, obviously have the same schedule as a school, and it gave me opportunities to still do my other businesses on the side. So I started my massage business in 2005, so about 10 years ago. And I just picked up side clients to make some extra money. And
so you didn't have a location, you just went to the client?
Yeah, well, my first location was at the Norwalk YMCA. And
oh, yeah?
So I worked out of there. That was, like, my very first space. And then I just, like, went to people's homes or had them come to my parents' house. I had a room set up.
So as a... because I know you have a lot of things that you do in addition to school counseling, but... as just a school counselor, does that lifestyle or that career afford you to have a good work-life balance?
It can. I just personally like to work. So it gives me the work-life balance where I get out at 2:15 and I have all night.
But you're not like... you were never a teacher, were you?
No. So but I mean, I get paid as much as a teacher.
But there's no like take home work, right?
No. So with counseling, very, very, very rarely do you have to bring home like essays to correct or anything like
that.
So we kind of have the best job in the school, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. You're
it's
right.
Like, tough secret. I mean, it's the best job until there's like super crises.
Yeah.
You have to like take the heavy stuff just in your heart.
But you get all the amazing benefits. You get
you get
schedule.
Great benefits. You get the schedule. You have the summers off.
A million sick days. You get snow days, if right.
You get snow
everything.
Days. So there are definitely perks to the job. It's not ever going to make me a millionaire, but it makes me happy. So,
but like if you were in finance, for example, right? Like some of the people that you work with. If you had a 9-to-5 grind... where sometimes you have to stay till 6.
Yeah.
And it's really stressful. Sometimes you have to work on the weekends. You probably wouldn't be able to pick up other stuff like you have
been
able to.
No, nor would I want to. I mean, I feel like... like, even you just describing that makes me like... like
do you think that having that kind of life sets you up for a stressful, hectic personal life?
Yeah, I mean, most of my friends... are not in education, so having to go to work like when it snows or in the summer, like they don't have I think it's harder for them to have a work-life balance. Like my best friend is in California and she went to Stanford Business and they actually had like a guest lecturer, and I remember her telling me about it. I think it was in like one of their psych classes. They have like one psych class in the business major, and they all refer to it as touchy feely, which I'm like, my entire major is touchy feely.
Yeah, so, like that. They right, like thinking that stuff is silly or something.
But the person who lectured them was talking about work life balance, and they're like, you'll hear this thrown around. I'm obviously paraphrasing. This is years ago. I heard the story, but it stuck with me. He said, you know, there's no such thing. It's not going to be 50-50 every day where you, like, work and then you have your life. It's going to be, like I have a meeting in Germany and my son's playing in a championship soccer game and I fly home that day to see the soccer game and then I go back or whatever. Like,
sure.
You make, like, those moments important, but it's not going to be, like, 50% of your week and, like, every week. And I never considered it that way because I've always had a lot of flexibility after my job to do whatever. But when you work a long day or you have to deadlines or if you're in finance and it's just forever, like how do you make time to go to the gym or do something that's like self-care?
Sure.
And then like
you don't.
Here's me in my like world of self-care and I'm like, get a massage, take care of yourself, come to yoga. Like
I know, but why is that so, why does that not exist in our culture? And why is it just like such a small select people that even, you know, like... I'm sure you're aware of, like, the lifestyle that you have, which I totally admire and wish that I were more involved in that stuff and treated myself better. And self-care, self-awareness, like, truthfully think that's so important. but it's absolutely not. It's like you said, it's touchy feely, or people think it's silly, or yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, as a culture, I think some parts of it accept that, and some still view like self care as a luxury.
Right, like it's something only like the right. very wealthy.
But if you look at it like from a preventative health standpoint, like our country is laden with like heart disease and immune problems, and like all of these things can be prevented. Like you can take those stress levels down. You have to make it a priority though, and like people won't do it until they're sick. So absolutely. Until you have high blood pressure, you're not going to start trying to meditate. Or until you have a heart attack, you're not going to be like, maybe I should try yoga. Like, which is the sad part of our country. I think it's shifting a little bit. More people are like curious, but not committed.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the studio that we're in now, talking what it is and so, where how it even developed and all that stuff.
I have a good story for this. So
what's the name of the studio?
The studio is Bend Yoga and Wellness in Milford. It's a dream
B-E-N-D, right?
Yep. I didn't want to like name it something like Red Lotus Flower Yoga Studio or something. Like
I wanted it to
be like simple, short, like non-specific that you're like trying to pronounce it or
it's great. And I work in marketing and I think you picked a good name.
Thanks. And I just wanted it to be like friendly to boys and girls. And if I had like, well, I do have t-shirts with the name on it. I didn't want it to be like Mountain Rising.
Yeah.
So anyway, no offense if there is a Mountain Rising yoga studio out there.
There probably
let me just qualify that.
Yeah.
Yours is probably working for you. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
So I, 2 weeks ago, what did we have? The non-surprise snowstorm?
Sure.
So that snowstorm, I went outside. I thought I, like, remote started my car to warm it up, and it didn't. And I was like, ugh. So my car wouldn't start. So, of course, I'm like, grr. And then my neighbor didn't have jumper cable. Like, it was just a whole ordeal. So I ended up walking here. It's a mile. But, of course, I was like, well, it's a winter wonderland. It's glorious, whatever. So as I'm walking, I come here. Sign the people in and like get classes started, and then I walked home. When I was walking home, this guy was stopped at the light and he rolled down his window and he was like, Danielle? And I'm like, yeah. And of course we're all like bundled up, so like you see like part of my face.
Yeah, just your eyes.
So and he was bundled up, so I'm like, yeah. He's like, Mr. Santos. Sorry for putting him on the spot, but he's awesome. He hired me and gave me my first job in the city of Bridgeport. He was the head of guidance.
So oh, wow.
He gave me my, like, start in Connecticut as a school counselor. And he was like, oh, my God, how are you? And I was like, do you still live in Milford? Like, and he lives on the street I was walking down. So he was like, I heard that you, like, opened a wellness center. And I said, yeah, it's right here. He's like, I remember your first interview with me that you told me you wanted to open a wellness center.
And really?
He's like, this is awesome that you're actually
doing
it.
Look at you. Awesome.
And I was like, wow, I've been talking about this for a really long time. Like, it's definitely been on my plate, like, from personal training to Reiki to massage and then counseling. Like, I wanted to be able to do everything in the center before I opened it in case people couldn't show up. Whatever. I wanted to understand all the aspects so I wasn't like, well, she does that and this person does that. So I got all of my certifications and licenses and everything I needed.
Which is, what are they?
I have my license as a massage therapist. I have a license as a professional counselor, so I could do private therapy.
Sure, yeah.
Obviously, massage. And then I got certified to be an aerial yoga instructor, and I have my yoga certification to teach.
Aerial yoga, what's
aerial
that?
Aerial yoga.
Like you're like in an airplane?
Yes. No, it's like yoga meets Cirque du Soleil. Like,
oh, like those swings.
Yeah,
that, okay.
So they hang from the ceiling. You're suspended in a like a hammock, and you just do different poses. It could be suspended in the air, or it could be like one leg on the ground, or I don't know. It's just nice because they hold your spine, and you get like a nice decompression in your back.
Oh, cool.
So
what about you? Do you practice Reiki here as well?
I do. We do Reiki. We do ear candling. We do massage. We wow. do Thai massage, like all
is that all your credentials? I don't want to cut you short. Is there?
Is it all my credentials?
Because you have a huge list. It's awesome.
Yeah. I just got certified a couple weekends ago in Bar, the like ballet meets yoga and Pilates workout.
Okay.
So it's kind of all the rage these days. You'll see like Pure Bar, Bar Method.
Okay.
We call ours Bend Bar.
Bend Bar.
But just small movements. They use ballet bars to like lift and tone the backyard.
So. And I'm sorry if I asked, when did you open this place?
We opened in April of 2014, so we're coming up on our 2-year birthday.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, it's been cool. It's definitely been a big learning curve. We started out kind of small, just one room that could hold.
So you own and manage?
I own, manage,
teach. And teach.
Like, pretty much.
Wow.
I do a lot here, but it's like my child, so I don't mind being here. And I feel like, for me, my background is in, obviously, counseling and psychology. So running a business is a whole different side of the brain. And I'm like,
Yeah.
So a lot of times I'm like, what do I do?
Could you easily just do this full time if you wanted to and stop counseling?
Not yet.
But is that...
It could be coming in the future.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to leave my school job. I like it.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely a lot of work and a lot of
hours. Do you feel stressed out that you have all this stuff to do?
Some days more than others, but I really like everything I do. And whenever people are like, what could you take off your plate? I'm like, I don't want to take any of them off. So I guess that's a really good place to be. Like,
what's a typical work day then look like for you? Like a Tuesday morning.
All right. So Tuesday morning, I'll get up. I started training at a gym in Stanford because the commute is sometimes so awful. So I'll go and work out at 6 a.m. in Stanford so I could go to work.
Before work?
Before work.
So you're waking up at 5?
Yeah, I wake up at 4:45. I, you know, get dressed, make a coffee, drive to Stanford. I take a boot camp class at my friend's gym down there. Then I drive over to my school job. I'll work from 7:15 to 2:15 at my school. See kids, talk to parents, whatever the day brings. And then I drive back home. Never know how long that's going to take. And then I have a client usually at 3:30.
Here?
Yep, here.
At Bend.
And then sometimes I'll have a client at 4:30, or like if I could fit two in, sometimes I'll just take like a 4 o'clock client and then I teach at 6.
Teach what?
I teach power yoga on Tuesday nights. So I'll teach at 6. I'm done at 7:15.
And then you're done for the day.
Yeah, sometimes I'll like treat myself and go next door to the other room because I teach in the small room. I'll walk across and do the yin yoga class. It's very relaxing and like good for the soul. So I'll end my night like with some good breathing and relaxing.
Yeah.
Into, like, it's not like a physical practice. It works with the soft tissue and like fascia. So it's no like muscular involvement.
Yeah. What would you say to somebody who, I guess, what's the benefit of that, of yoga? What could somebody get out of yoga that they wouldn't even think about?
So I think the greatest benefit of yoga is the, like, peace. I teach usually a very physical class, so it's rigorous. You're, like, working physically hard, but you're also still breathing through it. And like just like that mindfulness activity with the raisin that I was telling you about,
mm-hmm.
at the end of yoga, at the very end of class, every class, I'm always like, well, just take a little inventory. Like, how do you feel physically? Like, how do you feel mentally? Because sometimes I think we get stuck, and maybe just I'm speaking for myself, but as like a culture of people who want to be fit and healthy or skinny or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you get stuck in this like physical activity, but you don't really like check in with your brain, like, or your being.
So, okay.
So I always try to, like, bring it together to be like, listen, like, let's just take a few moments and enjoy rest. Like, reap the benefits of your physical practice, but, like, integrate them.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like what you were saying early in the conversation. We're bringing the mindfulness and the physical together.
Right, because I think there is a place for them to meet, and I found that place to be yoga.
Yeah.
Which, for everybody, finds something different. Some people love a gentle yoga class. I'm, like, obviously hyperactive, so for me to, like, teach gentle, I have a hard time teaching it, but when I go to a gentle or a more restorative type yoga class, it's so good for you because it makes my brain like,
oh. Yeah. What about someone, and I'm probably in that, someone who would be like, I would just fall over like in yoga.
I can't do those bends. Restorative type classes or like the yin class, you use tons of props. Like you're not, it's not based on working physically. It's just based on like letting your body be where it's at, and like your stress levels are way low. Like in my class, you'd be like, what are we doing? But not that it's not accessible. It's just because it's a little faster.
It's crazy, yeah.
But
what's your clientele like? Is it ranging?
God, we range so much because we offer just a wide variety of classes. So typically, well, I don't even want to say typically. I get a younger, more fitness-oriented type of a person in my class, but only because it's physically demanding.
Mm-hmm.
The yin classes get a mixed bag. A lot of people that do like a CrossFit or something like that really could benefit from the restorativeness of a yin or a restorative practice. So
yeah.
So a lot of people who are really physical come here for like the more relaxing and like the ones that open, like that stretch you out, you know?
Has Jilda, my sister, come here to do that?
We went to the yin class here actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. She prefers that.
That's the one that's more like restorative, less insane. Yeah.
I've been trying to get your mom to come.
Yeah. Well, we might need to just bring her ass here.
I know. Seriously. Nikki, let's do it.
Yeah. She's so, like, self-conscious, I think, about that.
Yeah. And that's, like, so that is a good lead-in for this. When I opened my studio, I have always been really fitness-based and, like, because of my gym background. And I didn't want that to feel like that here. Like, I wanted it to be a place where people came just to come. Like, I was, my goal in opening a, I don't even want to say a yoga studio because I just say it's a wellness center, was to create a space where people feel like they belonged. Because in any of my years of therapy and all the things I've gathered in my not so long life, I've realized that people just want to feel like they belong to something.
Yeah.
Like that's the secret to the human condition. Feel like you belong to something.
Right.
That's why gangs work. Like, I mean, it's
that's true.
It's crap, but it's true. Like, if you're like kind of lost and somebody's like, hey, we like you.
Yeah.
You're like, all right.
Yeah.
But yoga can be like really intimidating, especially if you, I mean, like you said it yourself, like I can't touch my toes. I can't.
Yeah.
I'll fall over. Like, and like, who cares? Like, there's no enlightenment if you get your forehead to your shin. Like, not that I've found. I do it every day. I'm still not enlightened. But there is something great about taking that hour of your day to move around, to open up your joints, like, and then to just meditate a little bit. So I wanted to create a space where people feel like they belonged. And that was like my one goal. So anybody, everybody, any size, shape, whatever.
Yeah.
So I've created that, which is awesome. And it shows because the people that come here like being here. They talk to other people about it. I don't advertise. I just have like my social media stuff, but people bring friends. They want to be a part of it because it feels good.
Great.
And we offer classes. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, whatever they do here, they want to participate. They are proud that they come here, which is so awesome for me to see.
That's really cool. So you're basically like everything. You're right in the driver's seat right now, right? Everything's going the way you want.
I mean, I created it that way. It's a lot of work, and it's definitely like there's days that it comes like crushing down on you where I'm like, I just don't want to be a grown-up anymore. Like,
how do you deal with the stress when you have days like that? Like, what's your vice? Do you have any
vices?
Yeah. Or do you always use healthy ways to
I don't know. I have like some good coping skills, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what my advice would be. I live a pretty healthy life.
Like, yeah, like you don't go like drink 10 shots and like go dancing with a bunch of dudes or stuff like that.
No, but that might work. No. No, I just, you know, I try to take a step back. I've always been one of those people who puts the thought before any actions. Like, I'm not a reactive type person where I like respond.
Yeah.
Like, I want to just take it in and be like, how does this affect me? And what am I going to do about it? Which,
yeah.
I mean, I wish all people could do that. I don't know why I have this talent. And sometimes I wish I could be a little bit more fiery and be like, fly off the handle and like let it rip.
No, but, you don't.
But I tend to just be kind of calm about things. So my life tends to be calm too because I'm introspective.
So you didn't have. Well, so you'd think a lot of that maybe you were raised or born with, but it's also possible that you can become that type of person.
Yeah, I think you can become that type of person. I think, I'm changing all the time. I feel like now I'm becoming having put myself in a position of leadership, I'm becoming now, like, I have to draw the line to people. I have to, like, have more boundaries. I have to set my own boundaries for my own time. Like, there's stuff that I never was really great at, like, confronting people or telling people that this isn't acceptable or this is acceptable or, like, this is what I expect from you. Or just, like, now managing people. I have, like, I think 13 instructors that work here, and just making sure, like, they show up. They're considerate to people. Like, I mean, everybody's nice, but there's those managerial things that happen, or when somebody calls out last minute, like, you know. So there's definitely, like, stressful parts of the business that you have to just attend to and do. It's stressful, but in the grand scheme of things, like, I'll take my little pile of problems right back.
Yeah. Okay, so, like, what would be a small step? Because if I'm listening to this podcast and I'm like, holy shit, this girl Danielle, like, where did she come from?
Yeah, I mean,
from?
Definitely don't put me on a pedestal. No, because I do have, like, human qualities.
No, of course. But what I'm saying is, the majority of the people, you know, and I don't want to make a generalization, but yeah. I think a lot of people don't really have this kind of... It seems like your life is really balanced in terms of being aware of what's good for you and what isn't, and really setting goals, achieving them, like, really just trying your best to be doing what you should be doing.
Yeah.
So some people might be like, well, there's no fucking way I'll ever do that. So that's just great for her. I'm happy for her, but that's not going to happen. Like, I have, you know, kids hanging from my head, and I have 20, you know, I work 70 hours a week, and I have a bad leg. I can never do that. Like, is that just excuses when people say, I can never live that kind of balanced life?
I think they are excuses. And people do with... I mean, I have less time than any person I know. Like, whether you have 4 kids, 10 kids, like, your lives are busy, certainly. And I know there's way more responsibilities and stresses that come from that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, the pockets of time are concerned, I work... You know, I get up at 4:45 in the morning and I get home at 8:30 at night. Like, there's not a lot of time to schedule anything else.
Sure.
So you have to find those times and you have to priority, like, what are the things that are important? Do you ever read that story about the rocks, the sand, and the pebbles?
I don't think so.
So just picture you have, like, a jar, a glass jar, and you're going to put in it rocks, and the rocks are the things that are, like, the most important things in your life, like your family, your job,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want to put. So you put those in, and then the pebbles are, like, the secondary things, like seeing your friends, going out, like, whatever in your life would be secondary. So if you were, like, writing on your calendar, you'd put all of your, like, number one priorities, then schedule in the second ones, and then, like, you know, you look at it and you're like, is this pretty full? Like, and then you say, like, well, what else could I fit in here? And then you start pouring in, like, sand to fill in, like, the cracks. And, like,
mm-hmm.
now is it full, you know? So the sand is kind of the loose stuff. Like,
yeah.
But you have to look at, like, what your rocks are is kind of the thing, because that's taking up the most part of your jar. And a lot of times people make their health like that sand, like, that could fit in the cracks. But then when you get sick, like... everything else has to come out of the jar, because now that your health has to be your priority. So you see people who have, like, a heart attack and then suddenly have tons of time to, you know,
sure.
take a walk or do yoga or, like,
yeah.
you know, now I can change my life because it's, like, this illness or whatever it is gave you permission. So, I mean, my goal in, like, having a wellness space is to try to give people that permission before.
Yeah.
So even if it's just one day a week or yeah. one tiny... change, like, I don't know, do, like, a meat-free Monday or something where you could, like, have a healthier one day a week or 80% of the time or whatever feels right, but nothing is impossible to change. It's just a commitment to it, and a lot of people are soft on commitment.
Yeah, you know, and me with my creative outlet that I try to fill with the time, for me that's really a healthy, important thing. And, you know, I'm really a realistic person, and I'll be like, okay, well, I just spent an hour and a half, like, on the internet looking up whatever, you know, buying stuff or how, whatever, just yeah. bullshit.
Of course, you get sucked right in.
So, like, that 90 minutes, who's to say you couldn't have gone for a jog?
Yeah.
or just done stretching for 10 minutes.
Sure. And I mean, it doesn't have to be. So what I find, like, I'm going to LA next week. I always feel like, oh my God, I have to get out of here to, like, break this, like, work pattern. Because I'll just work all the time. But I like work.
But it's so. Okay. But it's not a a negative thing for you.
It's not, a negative stressor. Thing. It's not. I mean, each of them have their own stressors, and I feel like sometimes I don't have like those little times to like just run to the bank because the bank's always closed when I'm done, or like stop at the post office or whatever it is. Yeah. But so when I do have like a free afternoon, I'm like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? But going to LA, like, next week, I'm going to take some yoga classes with my favorite teacher, and I'm going to hang out in Santa Monica and, like, have great lattes and vegan food and all the California things. And then, but I always think, like, I need to go away for, like, a month. And, like, really? I spend, like, 3 or 4 hours, like, in solitude, like, at the beach, take a yoga class, and I'm like, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be this
great. It doesn't have to be.
Like, and I was like, you know what? If I could just give myself 10 to 15 minutes a day, take a walk, like, I live right here by the beach, like, it's so much better for my soul to do it, like, every day,
yeah,
for a little bit of time than to think I need to, like, have a complete break from life for, like, weeks at a time.
Yeah.
So I think people have this, like, misconception that it has to be, like, all or nothing. Like,
you're right. Yeah. Because that's kind of, like, that's kind of how we approach a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, like relationships, sure. Your job. It's usually anything, all or nothing.
Yeah, like one thing that makes you unhappy at your job can cancel out like everything that you actually don't mind. Like,
but then it's even this new term that came out like a year ago maybe called binge watching because of shows, and like people will seriously
one
come
after
home
another after another
and watch 9 hours of like whatever on Netflix.
Yeah.
And we're so all or nothing, our culture sometimes,
right?
You know?
Right. Like, I heard people talking at work that they were, like, mad because they finished all the shows and, like, now they have to wait or whatever. And
yeah, there's
like,
nothing
left. Like, that's foreign to me because yeah. I put TV on and immediately fall asleep, so.
Yeah. But you're kind of like, you're an anomaly, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, I often feel a little bit, like, different.
But that's in a great way. Like you.
Well, I feel like I found out when I like really, I mean, I always use Hawaii as like my pivotal point because I moved there not knowing and then I found it. Like, and I feel like people seek or feel like a little lost or just keep doing the same stuff because like, what else are you going to do? And I didn't want to do that. Like, I wanted to know like, what is driving me and like, what are. Like, I know that throughout my life, I've always been a person who was, like, a helper. Like, I wouldn't feel like my life was rewarding if I were working in, like, a desk job from 9 to 5. Like, I don't know, making parts or something.
Yeah.
That's just never going to feel good to my soul. Not because those aren't good people, but for me personally, like, I needed to contribute to, like, humanity. Like,
yeah.
Or make, like, my little piece of the world better. So I always knew that whatever I did, I was going to be helping. And whether it was, like, at the gym or, like, just all my jobs have been, like, person-focused.
Yeah.
So when I went to grad school, it just, like, kind of solidified that for me that, like, this is it. Like, and it didn't matter what it was. Like, massage makes people feel great instantly. Like,
yeah.
Yoga is, like, just a great tool to get more people in it. Like,
mm-hmm. And even like the first episode of this podcast, it got me thinking about Christopher, who was on there, and a lot of the things that we were talking about and were kind of beating us up because there's the service component was lacking or is lacking in a lot of careers, and mine especially. Like, I'm not working with children, adults. I'm not, you right. know, trying to make people improve their life. And I think a lot of people that don't have those jobs have a difficult time coming to terms with, oh, what does this all mean? Because
sure,
you're not
because
really doing
you're not, like, every day making...
Yeah.
I mean, I wake up to go to work to try to help people, no matter where mm-hmm. I go to work. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like... I have a friend, my friend in California. I'll talk about her endlessly because she's awesome. Anyway, so Key's been my best friend since we were 8, and we couldn't be more different. Like, she went to Dartmouth and Stanford and studied business, and she's, like, a tech person, and yeah. I'm, like, how do I use this phone? Like, yeah. So, but she's amazing. And having the, she has an enormous heart, and she goes to work for like big tech company, like in business. And we talk about it all the time. She's like, you go to sleep at night and know you made a difference. And like,
exactly.
And like, so for her, her and her friends talked about how like they could volunteer at like a soup kitchen in like a nonprofit or whatever. And like one day help people feel good about it. But their idea was to get together, find a bunch of nonprofits that they could help with their like incredible business background, and like work on the back end of the nonprofit, like offer them free business consulting kind of services to try to make their business more efficient. So in,
oh wow,
like in the domino effect of, sure, it, like we'll help you be better and then you'll help way more people.
Yeah.
So over time, like they would be able to create like a bigger change than if they just like went and helped for one day.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like really kind of like the magic of it, because like,
it is.
Hell yeah. Like go help them so they could help everyone.
That's fantastic.
So I thought like that was kind of a cool look at it, because it's not like, here, I volunteered one day, like pat on my back.
Yeah. You're right. And I think what she said about you go to sleep every night knowing that you, I mean, that's the thing that a lot of people struggle with. I don't know the figures, but the amount of millions of people in the country that have trouble sleeping, have anxiety, have depression, what percent of those people are actually servicing and doing a good thing with their jobs every day?
Sure.
I don't know. You know, I think...
And the world needs, like, obviously people to run businesses and do that stuff.
It's, yeah,
not, it's not, you know, 1920 where we're like farming and sharing crops and,
sure.
So I feel like they're like, were our great grandparents dissatisfied with their work? I feel like my great grandparents didn't even think about that. Like,
they didn't.
There was just this way of living, and that was it.
But right, but we've evolved beyond that, you know.
Right. Like, so now we're having this consciousness about our, exactly, effect in our lives and our purpose.
Yep.
And now people are like, well, what is my purpose? And nobody, yeah, seems to know the magical formula to finding it. But I don't think the magical formula is to work like 70-hour work weeks, never reflect or like take a time out.
I think it's the killer, personally.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that those jobs are the killer. I think you can do that and you can work for a company and feel rewarded in your like successes in that company and still have a balanced life.
Yeah.
I think so.
Again.
You're like, let me jot this down. I feel like if you have, like, make a list of things you care about and make those things a priority, like, next to your work. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, my brother has three kids. Like, he works for a corporate job.
Yeah.
But he still, like, has time on Saturdays to, like, go and watch his son play soccer. He's five. Like, he still, like, goes to breakfast with the kids or, like, you know, like, the things,
sure,
that... that are rewarding to that, like, you know, taking your kids out for a hike and seeing them,
yeah,
in nature, or whatever feeds you. And like, I'm only speaking as far as like kids go, because I know like a lot of my friends are parents, and like seeing their kids excited or their kids grow like gives them that like glow, you know.
Sure.
I don't have kids, so I certainly can't really understand that.
Yeah, I don't
in
either.
That way, but. But I mean, like your sister, like when her kids are happy, healthy, and like singing or playing, like when I see those little videos of,
yeah,
Gabriel, like that's gotta just crack you up. And like,
yeah,
who cares about your job,
exactly,
at that point? Like,
right. So do you think that maybe people need to approach their job as secondary to everything else?
I think their job has to be firmly planted to their life, but it's not what they are. Like, I feel like, like, you're a human being, and you're being whatever it is. Like, we're doing this now. Like, when you leave here, you'll do something else. Like, I don't say, like, I'm a school counselor or I'm a massage therapist. Like, I'm just Danielle, and sometimes I do this and sometimes I do that. And, like, but the heart of me is going to be that in all of my jobs.
Sure.
So I feel like when you relate to your job and that's, like, where you get all of your, like, worth.
Worth, yeah.
That's the problem. It's not because there's not other things that are important. It's that's the thing that's making you feel special. My jobs aren't the driving force of my being. I'm the driving force of my being.
Yeah.
So once you have that inside, then anything you do, you'll bring your love to it.
Okay, so that's our show. Great talk, huh? Thank you, Danielle, for taking the time out of your crazy schedule to sit down with me and discuss your career and your life experience. I think, without a question, you've offered the listeners some real insight and advice, and I think you're truly going to be an inspiration to a lot of people. Again, I wish your new business all of the success in the world. I know it's already doing well, and it's about to hit its 2-year mark, but I just hope that it continues to do well. If you would like to check out Danielle's very cool yoga and wellness studio, which is on Naugatuck Avenue in Milford, Connecticut, you can visit her website, bendct.com, B-E-N-D-C-T.com. It'll list all of the classes and services that are offered. So I think you should give it a shot. You know, why not? I think I should give it a shot too. So maybe I'll see you there. Before I go, I'd like to say that if there's anyone out there who thinks you have a unique perspective that you could bring to the podcast about work and all the difficult questions that surround it, reach out to me. You know, I'm always looking for new guests in any and all professions. You can just visit my website, employedpoet.com, and then there's a contact form from there. Lastly, if you haven't already, please visit and like the new Facebook page I have created for the show. The page is, oddly enough, called Where I Work. So, that's it. Everyone have a good night, and I'll talk to you guys soon.